good?
The bad.
WTF.
Thinking.
Welcome back to episode 78 of The Good, The Bad, and the WTF, Where They Thinking. WTF, Were We Thinking, taking such a long break, a two-week break. And I blame you for that because you went to...
Why do you blame me?
You went to a festival and I am...
I had a life. I had a life and that is a reason to blame me.
That's fucking right. You had a life. That is a problem, all right? We haven't actually spoken about the festival, so I think we should get that out of the way because that's probably old news to you, but it's going to be new news to me and the listeners.
It does feel like it happened a while ago. I still feel like I'm in festival land. You know what I mean? Like you go to a festival and suddenly that becomes the world.
Oh yeah.
And you get used to that world and then like it's like a cold rush of water to your face when you come to reality and you're like, why am I not drunk? Why am I not in the tent? Why are there no like drunk people and like crap all over the floor? Who are these people wearing pants? Like these sort of questions, like they confuse me.
Yeah. Yeah, the general life, especially camping and the festival. Did you get much sleep? Did you sleep at all?
Probably like 3-4 hours a night.
That's pretty good, I'd say.
It's loud. I think like you wake up in the middle of the night and you hear like screaming music and all of this stuff. And you're like, it feels like apocalyptic. You feel like if you look out the tent, there's going to be like fires and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah,
very weird.
Yeah, people definitely don't sleep. I remember the last one I went to where I camped. I've not camped for a number of years, but the last one I went to where I camped, I remember there being like one quiet hour. I think it was between 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. It was like dead silent, and then the noise started again at like 7. It started to pick up as it got closer to 7. But then before that, it was all noise, 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 noise. And it was like dead silent. I remember waking up being like, I can't hear a thing. And then it got loud again.
I tell you one thing that pissed me off. There's a train guard on where people shout Alan.
And that's still happening?
That got annoying. That got annoying so quick.
I'm surprised that's still a thing. That was a thing in like 2011.
Well, people are still shouting Alan.
Well...
But I didn't realise until at the end that they were shouting Alan. I thought they were shouting Haaland.
Haaland, Haaland. I mean, they don't sound similar, so I don't know what... I think you were...
I had a lot of Haaland that week, though.
You were drunk. That's why you were drunk.
A friend of mine is a Man City fan, and he's a big Haaland fan, and he shouts Haaland a lot. A lot through that weekend, actually. Too much, actually. And I thought that because he was shouting that, I thought that people were shouting Haaland because of him.
Yeah.
I thought he started a whole new trend, but it was Alan, apparently.
They
were shouting Alan.
Yeah, I am. I think football chants and alcohol are a great marriage. But because I went to Arsenal versus Fulham a couple of weeks ago, and it was like a Saturday evening game. I had a few drinks during the day. And then we carried on drinking. And then we went to the Gunners Pub, which is a pub dedicated to Arsenal, just around the corner from the ground. They sell their own Gunners Lager there as well. So they brew their own. I don't know if they brew their own. I don't know whether it's
expensive, right?
I don't know whether it's just like another lager, but they just put the logo on it and pretend it's their own lager. I don't know what's going on. But a lot of the chants started there, and they carried on. And I was so drunk that I think in my head, I thought I was still in the pub and I was on the tube. And I was trying to get chants going on the tube with people that obviously weren't Arsenal fans. And I was like, oh, no, they get Tottenham. Silence.
It's a good place to go, actually. Oh,
I've embarrassed myself. The good thing about London, though, is you can embarrass yourself and never see the people ever again. That's the beauty of it. But, yeah, football chants and alcohol, they are a good mix. I can imagine a lot went on at the festivals.
There's weird things like people throwing like hoodies. There was a hoodie that was just like flying around. Someone threw a hoodie, it hit this girl near me, and she looked at me. I was like, I don't know what to do with that. I just throw it back.
Keep it. Yeah.
I don't know if I'd keep a rogue hoodie. You don't know whose hoodie that is.
It could be a crime scene, that hoodie. That could be someone could be missing.
I mean, one person threw their phone.
That's crazy.
At, one of the guys, Brucey.
That's crazy.
Not Brucey threw his phone, but the singer Brucey. They threw a phone, and he said, "Stop chucking fucking phones at me." I don't come here to be chucked phones at there must have been more than one phone.
There seems to be, yeah, I think there seems to be a thing that if you throw your phone on stage, hoping they'll pick it up, like they'll throw it on there already filming, you know, with the record button on, they'll chuck it on and hope they pick it up.
How the hell do you get it back?
You just hope they pass it back to you. I think people are just crazy. I would never do that. I mean, I value my phone too much. I value it way too much.
Well, not only that, but how the hell out of like thousands upon thousands of people does he know whose phone that was?
I don't know. You'd hope the person would be quite front and center, maybe screaming, "That's my phone, that's my phone." I don't know. Who fucking knows?
Well, everyone else is screaming. There's a lot of flaws. There's a lot of
flaws
already.
There's a lot of flaws, 100%. There's a lot of flaws. Not a big fan of it myself. Before we get on to the small talk, let's do two shout outs. And I tell you what, we should. Hopefully we'll get into the habit of doing more shout-outs, but we'll start with these two anyway.
We've never had to shout-out.
No, we haven't had any shout-outs.
It's all new to us.
Do you know what? We go quiet, and then our Twitter is the one that seems to be, you know, picking up all the traction, all the action's happening on our Twitter, and we were just like, we'll take a break.
And when we mean action, we mean two notifications.
Two notifications. Big shout-out to the basement... The Basement Scholar Podcast, who shouted us out as they tagged us as a potential podcast to listen to on a 40-minute commute. And I was thinking, only 40 minutes? We're only having 20 minutes of the podcast. You skip the end and you skip the start, don't you? Just get to the main bit. But yeah, a shout out to them.
We should just do highlight reel, maybe. Maybe that would like help them out a little bit.
It's nice to be mentioned. Like, you never know. Someone could pick that up and we could gain a new listener, who knows, but we do have an old time listener,
but only for 40 minutes.
An old time listener who also tweeted us, and they tweeted us, was it today or was it yesterday? Yesterday,
it was today.
Oh, today,
well, it might have been yesterday, actually.
It was this week, anyway. September 14th, it was, whatever it, date it is now,
yes,
whatever that was, anyway. Tyler Dan Van, or Tyler Van as he is called. Hello, mate, from Australia. Big fan of the podcast, listen since April, and I've really enjoyed all your episodes. Keep up the great work. You guys are awesome. He didn't just say one of us was awesome. He called us both awesome. This man is a bad judge of character.
he's like a parent. He doesn't tell you which is his favourite child. But we all know which one he means.
We do. We certainly do. But no, that's cool. Tyler from Australia, brilliant. I do wonder what time... I always wonder with anyone who listens to the podcast is when they listen to it. That's when I'm most intrigued. Like, what time do you commute to work? Do you in the gym? When do you listen to a podcast? I'm always interested when people want to tune in to actually listen to the podcast. That's a metric that you never know. On you can see all these analytics.
Mine is
know.
Commuting.
I think commuting is a good time. I think
being on, like, I know you didn't ask me that personally, that question, but mine's commuting.
It was a general question. I like the gym. The gym is good. I know people will be like, listen to music, you psycho. Like, but podcasts in the gym, yeah, for some reason, it helps me really concentrate. And I also see the time fly by as well when I listen to a podcast. But yeah, commuting, very good. It's hard to get into a podcast on the tube. I think when you're on like a train, and you're going somewhere, or say you're in the car, then it's nice. Yeah, I think London, when you're on the tube, there's too much shit happening, too distracted. But yeah, tweet us, let us know when the fuck do you listen to this podcast, because I would like to know, generally. Unless it's anything too personal, then keep it to yourself, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't want to open up anything too personal.
Keep it to yourself. Anyway, yeah, thank you to Tyler for sending us a tweet. Film festivals. There was a few.
Yes.
There was also the Emmys the other night, actually, which I tuned into.
Oh, we don't count
that. I know it's TV, but I tuned in, watched a bit.
I'm not going to go down the TV road, but I can't follow TV. I tried I watched two episodes of the new Lord of the Rings show. I don't really know what I make of it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you've watched it, because I've watched the first episode and I thought, for an opening episode of a TV series that has a budget of like 400, $85 million is spent on that season, which when you compare it to the last season of Game of Thrones, which cost $90 million, they're projecting that it could cost $1 billion by the time they finish all five seasons. It was fucking boring, wasn't it, the first episode?
I found it too serious.
Too slow. And
I tell you how I knew it was too serious. I was so happy when I saw Lenny Henry on this.
Yeah.
And do you know what? He hasn't fucking done anything yet, and I'm so disappointed.
Yeah. Do you know what I didn't know he was in it.
The underutilized Lenny Henry, for fuck's sake.
Which is, if you throw it back to an episode, we brought him up recently, didn't we? The movie True Identity. He was in that movie.
Yes.
We spoke about that for a bit, and then suddenly he's back acting again. Foreshadowing. We are foreshadowing stuff. I was surprised. When I saw him, I was like, is that Lenny Henry? And then I was like, surely it's not. And it was. Mad. But fair play to him. Good gig. Very good gig. Signed up for five seasons. Oh, unless he dies. Signed up for five seasons. Not bad.
Well, it might be like, who knows, it might be a bit like Game of Thrones where they don't let you know the fate of the characters. But I think this, due to the fact that it's more family orientated, I don't imagine a lot of people are going to die.
Nah, it wouldn't be, I don't think you want to be two Game of Thrones, because I think already people might compare the two, just because it's like big budget.
Yeah, and you already got House of Dragons as well, which is going to be Game of Thrones.
Well, them two are like almost like competing with each other, aren't they? Kind of came out at the same sort of time. Slow start. The problem with it is, because you know they've signed up for five seasons, they've got all these big master plans, they're going to drag out a bit, aren't they, until it gets good. It's a slog. You know, it's going to be a slog, and you have to be dedicated to that season if you want to watch it.
Do you know when I know I'm not enjoying it is when I'm thinking about how I wish I was watching the original trilogy instead. That's how I know that I'm not enjoying it. I'm just thinking, do you remember when Lord of the Rings things happened? I remember when things happened.
Yeah.
It's just slow, and everyone's a bit too serious, and I think most of the characters are not very interesting. You know, when you think of like Lord of the Rings, like at the start, you had interesting characters already. You had Gandalf, you had Bilbo, Frodo, all the hobbits, you had Aragorn. You had all these interesting people right at the start. Here, none of them are interesting.
No, they're not. It might take time, though. It might take time for them to get interesting. But just the first episode, I was kind of glad when it was over. The first, I was like, gee, I got through that. Jesus. Maybe I'll give it a go. Maybe I'll stick with it for the first season. I think a whole season is enough to really test whether you want to carry on watching that show. So maybe I'll give it a season and then we'll go from there. But I think it's going to end there, personally.
But every time I do that, everyone says that, like, oh, you should have kept with it. The second season was really good. The third season,
it starts getting good in season six. And you're like, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Exactly. It's like people said The Walking Dead. So I gave that fucking thing three seasons. It didn't get good. So, the fourth season's the best. I was like, no, no more. Same with Breaking Bad. I gave it two seasons. I didn't like it. People said, the third season is where it's like, oh, yeah, I see what you're doing here. I don't care anymore.
It's a hot take, that, because a lot of people love Breaking Bad. A lot of people, I think me and you are in the minority, but I haven't really watched much Breaking Bad. I tell you what, a TV show which is good from the very beginning to the very end, The Sopranos. Every season is good. Every episode is almost good. It's a great fucking show. You know, my favourite TV show of all time.
Buffy for me. You can't go wrong with Buffy.
An acquired taste. Do we want to get onto the main event, or do you got any more little?
Should we pick out some? I mean, we're talking about festivals, where we can't just like leave it like hanging there. So,
we'll quickly go
through some movies that have gathered some traction. Obviously, there's a few that we'd be interested in. The Fabelmans, which is Spielberg's one, which is basically autobiographical. It seems like there's a front runner. It seems like that's the movie that could win all the Oscars or win the major ones. It's got a good cast in it. It's got Paul Dano, who plays his father. Seth Rogen, who plays his uncle.
Interesting.
Michelle Williams. It's got a really interesting cast. Another movie that I know that we're going to like is The Banshees of Inisherin? The Banshees of Inisherin, which is from Michael McDonagh, who we love, who did In Bruges and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. This reteams him with Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson. I think
that's a great. Yeah, I did. That is a great combo.
That one has got the most critically acclaimed. That's the most critically acclaimed movie so
far.
Thank
God.
I'm always glad because I think his movies are quite underrated, actually. I don't think they gather the traction that they deserve, and I think he should already have an Oscar, maybe even more than one.
Yeah. 100%. He is underrated because he's not a household name, is he? So he is, in that sense, underrated.
And also, it'd be nice to see maybe Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell be nominated for Oscars. Two actors that have done a lot of work that's never been like properly recognised.
He's he's very like consistent, isn't he, with what he does? Like his filmography is incredibly consistent. Did you like Seven Psychopaths? I know not a lot of people. I don't know if everyone loved that movie. I did love that movie.
It's not a great movie. It's the weakest out of the movies he's done, but it's still
pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, he actually might be one of the only directors who I've seen every single one of his movies so far.
No, Jordan Peele.
Jordan Peele. Yeah, yeah.
Because you haven't seen The Banshees yet.
But like without him being my draw as to watch the movie, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like I think that may be what is his biggest strong point. His casting. And his actual stories are strong. He doesn't lean on himself, does he? He really leans on the story. But his stories are very, very strong. There isn't a single movie which I think he's done where you're like, oh, that's a bit of a shit story. They're all pretty solid. So maybe that's where his strengths are.
Yeah, and probably apart from Seven Psychopaths, I wouldn't say it's a strong story, but it's got some good moments, but it does like struggle and
Parts. I think maybe because he directs, writes and produces most of his stuff, that's probably why he's got that consistent style as well. That's 100% the movie you want to see. Absolutely.
I mean, there's still some other good ones. Women Talking, The Sun, Tar. They've done all right. The Whale, which stars Brendan Fraser, could possibly get nominated for an Oscar.
Standing ovation, didn't he?
He got a big standing ovation, and good for him. I mean, if anyone knows the story of Brendan Fraser, very heartbreaking. So it'd be lovely to see him actually get a comeback because, his story is quite a sad one, actually. Mm. What else have we got? The new Knives Out movie got great reviews, so that's another one to look out for. And then there was some that didn't do too badly, and there's one. There's one movie that I think has got the most limelight recently, which is Don't Worry, Darling, which seems to have such a great limelight at the movie. For a movie which is meant to be terrible, you have so much drama there. You have drama with the director and the main actress falling out. Shia LaBeouf was originally meant to play Harry Styles' role, but was kicked out because apparently of an unhealthy, unstable working relationship with Florence Pugh, but it turned out that wasn't the reason. He had scheduling. And then the famous, did Harry Styles spit on Chris Pine video? I mean, there's a lot going on there. It's really incredible.
Chris Pine has been an absolute joy to watch in the promo and the marketing for this movie, because he really looks like he doesn't really want to be there.
No.
He just looks like he's like... And I feel like there is a lot of shit going on behind the scenes and he's just over it. He's completely over it. But this is a movie... Like, I've seen clips from this movie and like I see Harry Styles' performance. I think he's a very good artist. And I mean, for his transformation from One Direction to being a solo artist, I think he's done a brilliant job and he's very good at his music. I see his performance and I was like, I'm not sure.
See, I saw the trailers and thought this actually looks interesting. And then everyone kind of came out and said, yeah, but you know where it's going 15 minutes in. And I thought, yeah, it did look obvious a little bit. But I thought the trailer looked so obvious that it couldn't be that obvious. But it must be that obvious.
I think it's that obvious. I think that's the problem.
It's that obvious.
But on Florence Pugh, because I did watch one of her, a movie that she was in quite recently, actually. I had to go off track. I've not really watched many movies of her in. I kind of realised that as I was watching. I was like, oh, fucking hell, this is kind of an actress that's kind of gone under my radar, weirdly. I watched Midsommar and Ari Aster. Again, I've also watched Hereditary. I when I said to you, I think that was...
Oh, you did see it,
I have seen it, yeah. I thought that was one of my first movies that I've seen from him, but no, it wasn't. They seem to stick with you, but I think part of your brain tries to get rid of them as well, because they're quite haunting, those movies. I thought she was phenomenal in that movie, and I was like, surely she got nominated. Surely she got nominated. Nothing.
Well, she did. She got nominated for Little
Women. No, but I mean, that was kind for that of movie. Like a, that was like a like, yeah, the Oscar yeah, friendly
that was like
one.
A two and two.
I suppose.
Yeah, well, they do it though, don't they? They kind of like give it to the easier movie to nominate.
I suppose Midsommar's, is it an Oscar movie? It's very fucking out there, isn't
no,
it?
I would love the Oscars to recognise something like Midsommar, but that's never going to happen.
It's insane. It's a brilliant movie, but it's fucking insane.
I would say Hereditary is one of my best viewing experiences in the cinema. Probably my least one is the movie I saw this week.
Oh boy!
I watched Hereditary in the cinema, and I did not. When I didn't know anything about it, I thought basically in my mind, Toni Collette goes mad. That's what I thought the movie was about. She goes mad. She's probably seeing things. That's what I thought. The scene where the girl gets decapitated, I was like, "What the fuck is going on?" This I was like, "What?" I did not expect that. I was shocked, and I was on the edge of my seat throughout the whole thing. I went to the cinema this week, and unfortunately, my worst experience at the cinema was this week because I fell asleep to the majority of the movie.
Oh, really, for fuck's sake.
Really sad that I did this.
You're doing this a lot now. You're turning into
I need to stop this. I need to stop
you're
this.
Turning into
do you know
father.
How bad it was? I woke up and the credits were on, and I thought, I felt so bad. I thought, oh shit, I don't even know how it
ended.
I couldn't believe.
You just wasted money. You don't have the option to rewind it or nothing. Fucked it.
I spent £10 to sleep in the dark. that's what I've done.
It's funny because that is what Dad does in cinema. The lights would be on, he'd be fine, he'd have his popcorn, the trailers would come on, and then the lights would go off and the movie would start, and then about 10 minutes in you'd look to your left and his head would be back, mouth wide open, eyes closed. You're like, fuck it out.
That was me, yeah.
You're becoming him. You're becoming, that's down the road for me too, it's coming to me too.
I was so, I mean, I built it up. I sent you a message saying I'm going to see David Cronenberg's first David Cronenberg movie I'm ever going to see in the cinema. I might be his last.
Yeah, I was surprised I didn't get follow-up from that message, actually.
and then like, I got through like a lot of it. I was enjoying it. It was a weird movie. And, you know, like a lot of Cronenberg movies, you have to dissect a lot. And then I started to feel the eyes get heavier. And I thought, oh no. And then I was like in and out most of the time. I was in and out. I was waking up and I was like, I don't know what I'm watching. And I kept going in and out. And then I just sort of woke up to see it said Viggo Mortensen. I thought, shit, it's the credits.
You really missed the whole thing. So you kind of came away from that movie not knowing anything that's happened, basically.
No, I was confused.
That's not good.
I had the Wikipedia a lot of stuff.
Would you go back and watch it again?
I apologize. I would. I apologize to David Cronenberg.
I'm sure he's.
I apologize.
I'm sure he's listening.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure he cares.
You did the moment. You gave him your money. It's over after that.
The best part is when he gave me his money.
That's poor from you. That's poor. I'm trying to think of I don't know which the next movie I want to watch is in the cinema. I'm going to have to... I feel like we're in that weird period where
It's getting slow.
Yeah, it gets slow.
And they've done a lot of re-releases at the moment. Yeah. And the one that I might watch possibly on Sunday or fall asleep to, I'm thinking about Jaws. I'm thinking about going to Jaws. Jaws is playing at Cineworld, so I'm thinking about that one.
That would be quite good to watch in the cinema, actually, yeah. That would be quite decent.
On IMAX as well.
That would, yeah.
They're going to shoot on IMAX.
That would be very, very decent.
They got one that said 3D, but I thought, they've never made Jaws 3D. How the fuck is that going to work?
I feel like they
The only one they
did.
Made was Jaws 3D.
I think they...
Yeah, but that was the third movie.
No, I think... Was it 1983?
Yeah, that was Jaws 3D.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, it was.
No,
yeah.
It's the stupidest story where one of the sharks that's attacking them was related to the shark that they killed, and it's on shark revenge. The 80s were a different time.
Yeah, but that was just a movie. They were like, that. The pitch for that movie was Jaws, but in 3D. And they went, yeah, let's do it. Went,
this
what's,
time.
What's the story going to What's the story gonna be? we'll come up with something. That was 3D used to be enough to pitch a movie, didn't it? Back in certain times, it used to be like, that'd do. But then they forget that once the movie is not in cinemas anymore, that kind of, you know, that gimmick is gone, isn't it? It's fully gone, and you don't have a good
isn't
movie.
Isn't it great? Isn't it great when they still have that gimmick and you watch it? I watched Friday the 13th Part 3 / D. I watched that in 3D when Channel 4 were doing it. And it's brilliant, like, because it's just like they try and like do the most cliche things. Like they got a yo-yo, someone playing with a yo-yo, and then at one point the camera's underneath the yo-yo, and you see the yo-yo coming out of the screen.
Stupid.
That kind of crap. It is stupid, but it's kind of like that was the best 3D movie that was on that week.
That week.
They had a whole week of it.
Sums it up. Right, should we get into the main event?
Yeah,
we're dilly dallying. All right, on to the main event.
So we're going back to the box office knockout this week.
Is it
1999. Sorry, and I hope that before you started this, you did Prince's 1999 as the intro.
I can. And I
If not, this will also... The people will be like, he didn't do it. And I won't be the wiser.
We'll see.
So last time we did top 30, but I thought top 30 was too long, so we're going to just do top 20. Ooh. But we will just bring out the 10 that didn't make it, which will cap the top 30, but they're not in consideration for our top 10 list. This is worldwide, by the way, so this is the top 30, top 20 worldwide movies at the box office. But we'll start with the top 30, just because it's fucking interesting. I'm already looking at the... 30 to 21, and I'm like, it's really weird, like, what, in 1999, because 1999 is a great year for movies, and when you look at 30 to 21, people didn't spend their money wisely in 1999. some did, some didn't, so some of them are higher than I would have thought. So at 30, you've got The Talented Mr. Ripley, which grossed $128 million.
Wow.
Is that right? Six zeros afterwards is a million, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Number 29, and I know some of our money went to this one, Inspector Gadget, $134 million.
Fucking
do you remember seeing that?
I always remember.
I remember because the kid behind me kicked my chair all throughout the movie.
Yeah. That wasn't a good... Was that a good... No, I don't think that was a good movie. I remember very little of it.
I want to see it again. I don't know if I've seen this one. The General's Daughter, $149 million.
I don't think I've seen that either. No.
This one, I think I have. 27 was The Bone Collector, 151 million. That's Denzel Washington. Serial Killer.
It's not right.
Denzel Washington. 26, The Mummy, 155 million. Not surprised, that was a big movie that I remember of that year.
Yep.
25, Princess Mononoke, 159 million. For Studio Ghibli movie. That might be a lot of the Asian market. I don't know how big that movie was in here. I know that's a critically acclaimed movie. I didn't know, like, commercially how big that movie did.
How do I? No, doesn't ring a bell either.
Number 24, a Mel Gibson movie, Payback, 161 million. Again, what I've noticed is, and the second one will show this, obviously this is when we had A-list actors, and Mel Gibson could sell any movie.
Oh, yeah.
So you'll be surprised, which was 23. Eyes Wide Shut, 162 million.
Wow.
Now, that's got to be because of Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. Because that's not the kind of movie that you would think would make that much money.
No, that was pure star power, that one. That really was, because, yeah, you're right. No one's going to see that for that reason, surely.
But,
well, maybe.
I tell you a movie that me and you saw, and that was number 22.
Go on.
And that was, and I forgot, and I'm surprised it's not in the top 20 now, thinking about it. Pokemon, the first movie, Mewtwo Strikes Back, 163 million.
Yep. That was, do you know what? That was actually a massive occasion when that was on. I remember that.
That was a massive occasion.
That was huge. It was absolutely huge. In my life, anyway. The way I remember it is it was fucking huge.
Well, I mean, we love, I mean, Pokemon was our life back then.
It was.
I mean, we really were sucking into that.
Of course, because it's Pokemon. It was big. It was big.
Gotta catch them all.
Gotta catch them all.
And number 21, Deep Blue Sea at 164 million.
Again. A fucking shark ate me. That's a great movie. It's a great movie. I had it on on VHS. That shows you.
You did.
I had it on VHS.
I still like that movie, even though it is a crappy movie. I still like
it. I remember it well, and I want to keep it that way. I'm not going to rewatch that movie. I'm going to remember it for what I...
It holds up.
Yeah, I'm going to pretend it does anyway. I'm not going to go back and watch it because in my memory, it's a great film. That's how it should remain.
So should we start with number 20?
Yes.
And see whether these ones apply. Now, number 20 is a movie that we've reviewed recently.
Ooh.
Analyze This.
Oh, yeah.
Comes in at number 20 at 176 million.
That was big, wasn't it? When it first came out.
De Niro, Billy Crystal, two sort of household names there. Also, Lisa Kudrow, who was in Friends.
Yeah, you can see. Very big name.
Those comedies are not around that much anymore, are they? Like the high concept comedies, which gross a lot of money. They're not really around anymore.
No. I don't know why. Or maybe it's because, I don't know, maybe they don't want to spend too much on those sort of comedies anymore. It's all Marvel.
It is a lot of Marvel.
Budgets go on Marvel now.
They do. It's Marvel or Marvel, non-Marvel, which is DC. It's franchises. They're like, that's what they go for these days.
Oh, yeah.
What's its potential to get in this top 10? Yay, nay.
For what to get in the top 10?
Analyze This.
In what top 10? Our top 10. I completely forgot the concept.
Whittle down this 20 to a nice 10 to represent 1999.
I say we go through them and then we do it at the end. Because then once you go through them, I can then search it up and then have all the names in front of me. Otherwise, at the moment, I have to remember.
Let's give it a soft amber, shall we?
Okay.
I'll put it in there.
Okay, amber. Okay, we'll do a maybe, pal. I don't want to do any definites until I've heard everything.
Okay. So now we go to number 19. I've never seen this movie, and I'm surprised I haven't. surprised it did so well. Why did I never see this movie? Number 19 is The Haunting, which grossed $177 million. Did you ever watch this movie?
I'm trying to remember now. The Haunting.
Was did it have Liam Neeson and Catherine Zeta-Jones? Was like a haunted house that they stay in?
I don't think I did see this movie.
I've never seen this movie.
I don't think I've ever seen this movie either. That was clearly a moment in time, wasn't it? I remember
there being so much what's the word? Promotion for this. There was so much promotion for this movie.
It got a lot of Golden Raspberry nominations. A lot.
Unfortunately, it probably won't be the only one in this list here.
So that could be why.
Does get in there. So how about number 18 here, which I know you did see. I actually remember us getting this on Skybox Office, which is Double Jeopardy. It grossed at $177 million.
Ooh. Double Jeopardy. Did I watch that?
Yes, you did. Yeah. This was part of our Saturday night as kids watch a Rooney.
Ah, yes, it was. Yes, I remember this. This has potential. This has potential.
I haven't seen it for a long time. No, again, it was a high concept thriller. With Morgan Freeman and Ashley Judd, I believe.
Yeah, that was it. I remember it well. Again, another movie I've not really seen since. Another disappearing act of the 90s. But good, decent movie at the time. Anyway.
Number 17 is A Jump. This is where people really spent their money. So Double Jeopardy was $177 million. Mm. Number 17 was $206 million. And that's Sleepy Hollow.
Ooh.
Do you remember Sleepy Hollow?
Of course I remember Sleepy
Hollow.
That's in the top 10 thing about a 1,000,000,000%. Do you know what? That movie is fucking great. Isn't it?
Let's just recap an interesting thing here. These two things, 18 and 17. Now, there's a story behind this. Do you remember that we had to pick a movie for Skybox Office on Saturdays? You know, like we go through a list of movies with our parents. We're like 8 years old and 6 years older this time. It's very irresponsible when you think about it. But
it's what birthed this podcast, really.
It did birth this podcast.
Things like that. I mean, moments like that.
And our countless therapy sessions. And these two movies playing at the same time. You want a Double Jeopardy and I want Sleepy Hollow.
Really? Was that what it was down to?
Yeah, it was at this
Sleepy
time.
Hollow is more of a you pick at that moment in time, I would say. I'm not surprised. You were a bit of a Tim Burton nerd, kind of. You know, do you know what I mean? Like Tim Burton.
I'm still riding that train a little bit. And I think that week I got the pick. I think I got Sleepy Hollow and the week after you got Double Jeopardy. And I think that time has told that I made the right pick in the end.
Yeah, I think yours is aged better than mine, definitely. Sleepy Hollow is a great movie. It's a brilliant movie. I feel like it's another 100%. Movie that isn't spoke about enough, but it feels important in my life somehow.
I agree with you. I don't think, like, when people talk about Burton, and I mean, he's made a lot of great movies, and
that's
recently
the problem,
he's made a lot of crap
movies.
And I think this might be, like, and the tail end, one of his last great movies. I mean, what have you got afterwards? You've got probably Big Fish and Sweeney Todd.
Corpse Bride, you'd say, and like, was actually quite all right.
Yeah, it's okay. I wouldn't say it's great, though. I wouldn't say it's in the great
one. No, but it was all right. Yeah, Sweeney Todd was good. Todd was good.
I liked it.
Yeah, you're right. And yeah, and then it gets a bit, yeah. Gets a bit un-Burton-esque.
Yeah, he did Dumbo.
Yeah, I'm surprised about Dumbo. Dumbo doesn't seem like something he would have done, but hey ho. Yeah, Sleepy Hollow was great. I feel like that is forgotten amongst the pack in a way. But that is a good movie. I think definitely put that in the amber. I would be surprised if it doesn't make it.
Here's another one. At number 16, which is actually joint at $206 million, actually made about 5,000, 4,000 more than Sleepy Hollow. A good, strong consideration as well. Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me.
The Spy Who Shagged Me. I forgot that came out in 99. Okay, that's good. That's good. It's got to go in the armor, hasn't it?
It has. I mean, we reviewed an Austin Powers movie recently. We reviewed International Man of Mystery, which was 1997. Mm. I mean, that was huge. The Austin Powers thing was huge, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was big. Big, big.
Those movies were like huge. People constantly quote them, especially Dr. Evil. Dr. Evil got quoted so much.
I think it's still.
Yeah, baby.
It still does.
Stuff like that. It's just like, I still find it quite quotable. I think like you could shout out any Austin Powers thing and people would instantly know what you're referencing.
And weirdly, going back to what we said at the start of the podcast when I was talking about Midsommar, Austin Powers gets a reference in Midsommar. Do you remember the scene?
No,
one of the people comes, I don't know what they're called, the part of the cult. One of the people part of the cult said, the children are watching Austin Powers if you want to go join them. So they're watching Austin Powers at the cult. How random is that? That's random. That's one of the that is one of the most like, huh? Just the most unexpected.
Do I make you random, baby?
Especially in that movie. Jesus Christ. Nothing about that movie makes anyone randy, does it? Jesus Christ. I just cut my pubes off and put it in your pie. Does that make you randy, baby?
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, behave.
If anyone hasn't seen that movie, cutting your pubes off and putting it in your pie, it wouldn't make much sense, so maybe watch the movie.
I mean, it was a different time back then. I mean, like, Eddie Murphy and Mike Myers were just putting prosthetic makeup on all the time and playing like 12 fucking characters to go.
Yeah, that was the done thing to do back then. And I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining.
I need to see this one again. This is the one out of the trilogy that I remember the least. Goldmember's the one that I remember the most. International Man of Mystery is pretty fresh in my mind because we reviewed that not far ago.
Yep.
But this one I never really remember.
No. Nor do I, to be fair. But they all kind of roll into one, don't they, in their weird way. But Amber it, I'd say for now. Amber it.
Well, yeah. I've at the moment, I've got 4 in there.
Fair.
On Amber's.
Fair.
Number 15. Now, obviously, we're doing the a podcast of him in the future. Is Arnold Schwarzenegger movie is finally in. End of Days, 211 million. Which I'm surprised because that was not a very good movie of his. But I didn't realize it grossed that much. Not so much domestically, only 66 million in America, but 211 million worldwide.
Okay. Amber? Did you Amber?
I can't say that's going to represent 1999.
No. Oh, yeah, I do forget that we have to, whatever represents 99 as well. I forget that's part of the concept. Yeah, maybe not then. Maybe not.
No.
Nah. Get rid of it.
We got some. At the moment, like I think of 99 as all these great movies, and I'm still waiting for them to turn up a little bit.
Well, surely they should get better and better, right?
Yeah, surely. Number 14, I don't know if you've ever seen this one. I remember watching it on BBC years ago, probably like the year after it was released. Entrapment.
Yes.
212 million. This was Sean Connery and Catherine Zeta-Jones. Remember when Catherine Zeta-Jones was a big actress?
Yeah, so
she's in two already. She's in The Haunting and this. She's got 2 movies in the top 20.
This is her time. It's her time to shine. Yes, I remember this movie. I don't think I liked this movie, though.
I don't remember. I think I've only seen it once, and I can't remember if I liked it.
I'm not sure I liked this movie, but yeah, no, she was huge, weren't she, back in the day? But she was just like the it girl, wasn't she? She was the it girl.
Yeah, she was kind of like she was the hot girl. Yeah.
She was in a lot. She was in a lot of movies in the 90s, early 2000s, weren't she? And she's kind of just. Well, how old is she now? 52. I suppose she's just over it, is she? What was the last movie she was in?
It's hard because I think when actresses, when they hit that 40, 50 mark, they do struggle to get work because it's a very sexist industry.
Oh, yeah. Of course it is. Becoming less so, but probably when she was at the height of her game, yeah, probably. Probably was very sexist.
Now, number 13 is a movie that we saw in cinema. I'm pretty sure, I can't remember if it would have been Burger King, McDonald's. Remember when you used to go to movies and then you used to go and get like a kid's meal at Burger King or McDonald's and it would have the film promotion packets on? I don't know if they still did it, but I always remember that as a kid.
I do.
And this one, number 13, it's coming straight through. The Wild Wild West. Mm-hmm. 222 million.
Wild West. And it was a bad movie, but it made a lot of money.
Well, of course, it has Will Smith.
Will Smith, yeah. Will Smith in a very big moment. Don't forget Kevin Klein as well. Let's not forget Kevin Klein.
We won't, but I mean, like, do you remember how huge this movie was? I remember this movie being huge.
Yeah, this was
I
remember massive.
The music video, huge. I remember, like, all the toys. I think, like, you could get the robot spider thing in, like, your Burger King or Big Mac thing. And I was all about that robot spider, man. That was the awesome thing.
The robot spider was the main bit, wasn't it? I think that's the most memorable thing from the whole entire movie, was that spider. It does very much represent the 1999, doesn't it?
It represents 1999 for me as well. Because I remember that time very well. It might not be a great movie, but I mean, it's got to be in consideration a little bit.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Put it in the amber. Put it in the amber.
Okay. Now, number 12, I know this is going to be a green for you. This is going to be the greenest of the greens for you. It's Big Daddy.
Ooh.
Big Daddy at 234 million.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah, put that in there. 100%. That's one of his better movies as well, in the sense that it kind of has it all. It's funny, it's heartwarming. It's a proper Sandler flick, isn't it?
But you have. Have you still got your Scuba Steve?
I do still have my Scuba Steve, yeah.
Yeah. I forget about Scuba Steve. It's not his fault he can't read.
Hippopotamus? Hippopotamus? You gave him the easy ones!
You call me a liar?
Yeah, great movie. Come on. They're so quotable as well. That's one of his best, man. One of his best.
I mean, it got into our top 10 Adam Sandler ones.
It fucking deserved it as well. Come on.
So there's a good chance of getting the top 10 here. And, oh, we're getting some good ones now. The good ones are coming. So number 11, it's American Pie, 235 million.
My Miss American Pie. I mean, this is the most 1999 thing of all time, isn't it? This could be number one on the list at this rate. This
again,
this
franchise, along with Austin Powers, this was huge. You know, this was American Pie was huge. As I mean, everybody was quoting Stifler or saying, "Have you seen that movie? What happens to Stifler?" And like this or that, or he got caught fucking the pie or what have you. It was just completely. It was a moment of time, which was interesting.
It's great, and it holds up as well. You go back and watch it; it's a fucking great, funny movie.
Oh yeah,
it's a fucking funny movie.
I actually, when I was a kid, I loved American Pie 2 the most. But going back, I think American Pie is the best.
Yeah, it's definitely the best one. But the thing is, I like all three, and I also like the reunion. What's wrong with me? I like all four American Pie movies. It's like
I also like the spin-offs. I like Band Camp.
No, see, I haven't really watched Band Camp, like Naked Mile and like Book of Love.
I've not
and stuff
seen
like
that one,
that.
But I've seen Band Camp. That was too
there was bad. A lot of spin-offs, but that's like that birthed like a genre, didn't it? Coming of age sex comedies. That birthed a genre. I can't remember many before that in terms of that culture.
Exactly.
Like there was obviously the 80s movies, there was a lot of other stuff, but they weren't all fully based around sex was like the main thing. Do you know what I mean? Am I wrong?
Without American Pie, there would be no road trip.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's more like road trip, Euro road trips.
Without
sex
American
drive,
Pie,
stuff
there
like
would
that.
Be no Harold and Kumar.
There you go.
And also, without American Pie, that possibly might not be a grind.
Shout out to Vince Viloff. I listened back to that podcast actually the other day. Brilliant. Brilliant podcast. If you're listening, Vince, get in touch with us on Twitter because I've lost your email address. in case you've emailed me and I haven't replied, I do apologize. Anyway, yeah, American Pie, 1999. 100%. It has to be. It's number one at this point. Right now, it's going to take a big dog to knock this movie off the top.
Well, I think that number... We're probably doing alphabetic though. I don't know if we're going to like rank him as the best.
Okay, but if there is the best, this would be the best. I feel like watching it now. That's how much that's so good.
Well, hold your horses there, Sally, because number 10's coming in quite fast.
Hot.
And at 248 million... It's the Blair Witch Project.
Ooh.
Now, I mean, that was that does represent 1999 there because was that movie real or not?
Yeah.
Did the children go missing? This was before the internet where you could Google this shit, and they actually made a website where that had. Have you seen these people? They've been missing X amount of time.
They did a good job with this movie because they decided just to use a bunch of people that weren't very well known. I don't even know how known they were to whether it was even their first roles.
I think it was their first.
There you go. So it was good. You're right. You couldn't Google anything. And then this is such a like a word of mouth type of movie. People in school watching it, and I was kind of like, oh, I don't want to get scared. It's kind of like The Ring. I was like, oh, I don't know about The Ring. It's kind of scary. And this is kind of on that same sort of level. But when I did finally watch this movie, it's the it probably is the founder,
it freaked me out the first
the
time,
CEO yeah. of found footage movies, isn't it? This is the big dog.
Because unlike any other found footage movie, this one actually felt real because you didn't see anything. The poster always sticks with me.
Poster's great.
It always will. As a kid, just seeing the woman with like half her eye and half her nostril. And that's how I remember seeing Blair Witch. And that, what's so interesting about that is you see absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Yet you're absolutely terrified because you're like, yeah, but what am I not seeing? And I mean, I was 8 years old. I didn't go to the cinema to see this movie. But I remember it coming on Channel 4 and I stayed up. It must have been 11 or 12. And I remember watching this movie and being like, what the fuck? This is I generally, again, even that time, I didn't really use the internet, so it's not like I could Google anything, but I did think, no, this is real, isn't it? This feels real, because that's the first time I saw a found footage movie. So it didn't look like a movie, it looked like a documentary, so my mind was already thinking I'm watching something real.
Oh yeah, yeah, everything about it felt real. But that's what's so good about it. It's just it was one of those movies as well that was... Yeah, it was just genuinely quite scary without trying to be too scary. It just kind of is what it is. It really felt like you were watching something you found. You know, you found this tape in the woods. You popped it in and you were just like, fuck.
And for anyone that says, oh, it's only people screaming in the woods, you don't see anything. I think that's simplifying it too much because anyone could do that. And I think it proves that it takes more than that to just make a scary movie. You have to have some sort of talent.
Oh, yeah.
And I think everyone in front and behind was talented enough to see what was happening. And I also think the thing that they did, the directors, is they generally did piss off the actors. Like, they were pissed off. You could tell that part of it was acting and part of it was frustration. Mm. They did feel quite frustrated.
Yeah, it's very, very organic, very raw. And also, it was made on a budget of like $200,000-$500,000. And it made as much bad. As you're saying it did. That's an insane percentage increase, isn't it? And also, the titles, absolutely. The title's really good. If you say like that, everyone knows that title. It's so iconic, isn't it, in a way? The Blair Witch Project, it's so iconic.
It's such a... It's, I've never seen The Blair Witch, which is on Netflix. I've never seen it. I heard that you see The Blair Witch, and I think that's the one reason why I haven't watched it.
Well, that's shite,
I don't
want
to see The Blair Witch. I don't want to see The Blair Witch. The idea of not knowing what it is scares me more. And to see The Blair Witch, I know as soon as I see The Blair Witch, I'm just going to be like, she didn't live up in my imagination.
Yeah, no, it's scarier. It's so much scarier not to see something than to fucking see something, isn't it, really? Your imagination is way more powerful. Yeah, this goes in, doesn't it? Oh, it's a good one. It's a good one. The list is getting good now, isn't it?
It's a good one. It's getting good. Number 9 is even getting sweeter. Oh, the Green Mile, 286 million.
Wow. Yeah.
Which I'm surprised it made that much money.
Tom Hanks, pretty big at the time.
Tom Hanks, yeah. Huge. Tom Hanks, Stephen King.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big combo. I'm not too surprised that it made as much money as it did. I think a movie like that comes out now, I don't think it makes as much, but I think back then, this was a pretty tasty like film for its audience, wasn't it?
Oh, I love this movie. This might be as one of my favourite movies of all time. It's definitely up there in the echelons of greatness. I just find it when it's warmth, it's warmth, and when it's dark, it's dark. Yeah. And that's what I like about it. And when it's melancholy, it's melancholy. It just seems to hit all the right beats at the right time. Even like it's there's so many genres in this movie when you think about it, because there's bits in this movie which are hysterical, and then there's bits in this movie which are really haunting and scary, and then there's bits in this movie which are just gruesome. And there's a roller coaster of emotions when you watch The Green Mile. And you're watching it for 3 hours, so you probably want a roller coaster of emotions.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a fucking long movie, but no, it is good. It is iconic. It's a great movie. Again, does it represent 99 for you? I don't know if it represents 99 for me, but I think it is a great movie.
I think it's got to be in contention.
It's got to be in contention. Yeah, absolutely. But it doesn't scream pure 99. I think it's actually timeless in a sense, this movie.
Well, how about this for pure 99? What we did see in the cinema, it's Stuart Little, 300 million.
Stuart Little. I might go be a bit controversial here. I don't think this movie's all that. I don't even know if I liked it that much when I was younger.
I can't remember. I can't remember much. I remember like Stuart Little, and then like he had beef with a cat. That's about it. Why did they adopt him?
He was a likable mouse.
I think now I'd question why you'd adopt the mouse.
I don't know. I mean, a mouse that wears cargo pants and fucking Vans or Converses, you'd be like, that's a pretty cool mouse. So I guess.
And also, his dad, Hugh Laurie. I mean, it's not a bad foster dad.
It's all right. Michael J. Fox as well, the voice of Stuart Little. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if this is the one for me. I put it in Amber, but I feel like it could be dropped. I don't think it's as good as you remember it.
Stick it in Amber. I don't know how I remember this movie. I just
think that's a problem.
I just know that it exists. I'm not surprised it made that much money. Kids movie.
No, I'm not surprised. It's
mouse talking that's mouse it. Talking cat. You know, there's a lot of things that talk in that movie. It's
a big movie. Do you know what's crazy about Stuart Little? Is that M. Night Shyamalan wrote the screenplay for it.
And there were no, like, twists or anything. Didn't turn out that the The mouse was actually a rat. You know, everything was
That's not spoken about enough, in my opinion. What the fuck? And he wrote the screenplay for that. That's not spoken about enough. That really is crazy.
Hey, listen, he's when you need
it's the same year as the Sixth Sense.
Bread on the table.
So that's coming on exactly. This list. Fuck
can
me.
You imagine if he sent? Can you imagine if he sent the wrong script in, and they greenlighted him to direct the Stuart Little, and he was like, "Shit, damn, I got the wrong script."
That is fucking nuts, isn't it? Is that not nuts?
I mean, come on, it's not too
bad.
He wrote
like
a script about a man.
It stands
and
out.
He got 300 million. I mean, that's not too bad. He didn't personally get 300 million, but he must have earned a fair
but
share.
It stands out like a sore thumb in his photography. Sixth Sense, Stuart Little, Unbreakable, Signs, The Village. I love it.
Why didn't he do Stuart Little
too? I fucking love it. I don't know. He was too busy doing other shit. But
that's it. So he could prioritise and keep on to his franchise.
I fucking love that. That is mental, isn't it? That's crazy. Some people will be listening and didn't know that, by the way. That could be new information, because I didn't know that.
There you go. We learn something new every day.
That's crazy.
Stuart Little, co-founder. Number 7. I've never seen this movie. I don't know if you have. Runaway Bride, 309 million. I believe this was a Julia Roberts movie.
Runaway Bride, I'm not sure I saw this movie. No, I didn't see this movie. But the poster is so...
I haven't seen this movie.
The poster just is ingrained in my memory. I've seen that poster like a million times.
A reporter is assigned to write a story about a woman who has left a string of fiancés at the altar. It sounds 90s rom-com right there, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's very, very,
but
very nice.
We all know that suddenly she's going to find the right one. She's not going to run away anymore.
And it's Richard Gere and Julia Roberts,
who's got Stuart Little up his arm
again. Yeah, I mean, if you look at Pretty Woman, the poster for Pretty Woman, and you look at the poster for Runaway Bride, only one of them has aged very well in that time. In those 9 years, someone else, 50% of the cast, didn't have as good a 9 year as the other, and. I think you probably work out who that is.
Gerbil snake. Number 6. And I'm surprised it's this high, actually. American Beauty at 356 million.
American Beauty.
Now, I wonder whether it's because it's the one that won Best Picture for the Oscars, whether it pushed that much. I mean, Kevin Spacey, I wouldn't say he was a big actor that could draw a box office, but I mean, I love this movie. What a great movie.
Probably not. And it also stars Mina Savari, who is in, she was in American Pie as well, wasn't she? Big year for her. American Pie, she got two, and American Beauty. She likes American. Anything of American, she was just saying yes. She was just going through the emails. It was just like American Beauty, yeah. American Pie, yeah. Okay, we'll do them, and then we'll get to the rest of the movies.
American Psycho, yeah. Put it on.
What else
we
got?
What about American Tail? Isn't that like animated mouse?
You're gonna laugh. She has another movie. What she was in 2000 called American Virgin.
She needs to get a new agent. It's like, have you seen this new movie? It's called Virgin. I don't know. They're thinking about putting American in front of it. Oh, you got yourself another deal there.
Oh, that's yeah. That within a year, she made three separate movies with American in. That's another fact. We're just spitting out facts today, right? There's facts of facts.
Do you reckon that the only way they got her into the Teenage Dirtbag music video is they had to tell her that it was American Teenage Dirtbag? It's American Teenage Dirtbag by American Weirdos.
She's like, all right, then, you go. So where do I sign?
And then it gets released. Their motherfuckers lied to me.
That is good, though. That is fantastic. She loves America. She's just American.
She's just
born in
Rhode
American Island. Girl. Of course she loves American. She's been married 3 times. She's very American. Very American. What a woman. Don't really know too much about this woman apart from what she's been in, so I'm just learning about her as we talk. So you can move on to the next one while I read her personal life section.
Well, I'm just going to talk about American Beauty for a bit, because it's not all about Mina, whatever her name is. It's a bit of a grey one, obviously, because of the controversy that surrounds Kevin Spacey, but this was before we knew better. And I like this movie. I really do. I've got it on Blu-ray. I love this movie. I've watched it many times. This was, I nearly said Shawn Mendes. This was Sam Mendes's first movie. And for his first movie to win an Oscar, it's not bad going, is it? And he's not had a bad career.
It's pretty good, yeah. It's pretty good.
He made 2 James Bond movies.
It's all right, isn't it? Could be worse.
It's all right. Did some other things. He made a movie, like a one-take movie in World War One.
It's all right.
It's okay. It was good.
He's got a new movie coming out this year.
Oh, this movie got slated a bit. It'll probably still get nominated, but it didn't go too well down with critics.
It's got a good cast.
Olivia Colman, they say, is great in it, but they say Sam Mendes wrote the script and it's a bit holy. It's a bit of a crap script.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So
Empire of Light. I don't like the title.
Roger Deakins did do the cinematography, and I'm pretty sure that's going to look
good. Yeah, that'll probably look good. Yeah, American Beauty, put it in there. Put it in there for now.
Okay. Now, number 5, another movie we went to the cinema to see. You know, it's a good year when you went to the cinema. And what a leap. So American Beauty was $356 million. Number 5 is $448 million. It's an animated movie. It's Disney. We've got a Disney movie. Tarzan.
Oh.
Do you remember Tarzan?
I do remember Tarzan. Was not expecting that to make as much money as it did, you know. The animated movie.
The anime movie, yes.
Oh, I'm surprised that made as much as it did.
I mean, that's Disney, man.
I suppose, yeah. Disney,
Remember, it was also the Disney Renaissance as well, so it was in the mix of the Renaissance.
Yeah, do you know what I'm thinking of?
George of the Jungle. Yeah, I thought you were.
That was 1997. Tarzan is a rip-off of George of the Jungle, anyway, so...
No, George of the Jungle is a ripoff of Tarzan.
Hey, probably.
Hey.
What other jungle? The Jungle Book is another movie I'm thinking of. There's a lot of jungle movies in the 90s.
There is. They did do a few of them. I mean, it's a weird franchise, isn't it? When you think of it, they don't make a lot of them. But like, if you go back to the 50s. Man, they were making like Tarzan movies every year. Like Tarzan does this, Tarzan does that.
It's
like a serialized thing.
Tarzan goes to jail.
Like, Tarzan
goes to the beach.
It was. Tarzan goes to the moon. It was a lot of it. It was just like Tarzan saving people all the time. It's like, Jesus,
Tarzan,
man. If I was Tarzan, I'd get bored of it.
What, saving people? What the fuck else is he going to do?
Well, wouldn't you just want to chill out and like see your family?
It doesn't make for a very good movie. Tarzan goes to see his family. Tarzan has a Sunday roast. It's not exactly the...
What, he wouldn't have a Sunday roast in the jungle? You silly Billy. Tarzan wouldn't have a banana Sunday.
He wouldn't chill either. Where would he chill? In the trees, just laying there.
Yeah, because he would. What do you think monkeys do and gorillas and all that stuff? They don't fight each other all the time. Most of them sleep.
Tarzan was just asleep. Was just grinding time. Down trees. No, he was just sliding down trees. That's all I remember from him.
It must have hurt.
I'm surprised this movie. I mean, I'm not actually that surprised, but I just don't think it's had the cultural impact further on as it did at the time. You know, people don't talk about this movie like Toy Story, do they? I think people know about Tarzan, but I don't think it gets.
I think it's a good movie though. I don't think it's a bad.
I don't think
movie.
It's a bad movie at all. No, I think with time it hasn't. It's kind of been lost in time. Let's say that.
Lost in.
Are they making another Tarzan that we don't know about? Is there something in the works? There probably fucking is.
The last Tarzan movie they made was with Alexander Skarsgård and Margot Robbie in 2016. That was a terrible movie.
I don't even remember that one. Jesus.
Don't watch it. But I tell you a movie to watch, and that is number four, which is The Matrix at 463 million.
Ooh. The Matrix. Yeah, that's very 1999, isn't it? And I watched this movie not too long ago. Probably like last September or something like that.
I mean, fucking good, this movie was this movie was like, I had the in my head and now it's gone. You know, where they keep mimicking it.
Yeah.
What's it called? Parodied.
Oh, yeah.
This movie was parodied so much. Bullet time, like the jumping in the air and staying still. Like all of that. I mean, the year after, Scary Movie.
Yeah.
Copied a lot of it. There were movies that every movie looked like The Matrix. Every action movie afterwards looked like The Matrix. And everyone had a long leather trench coat.
This is something that had a massive cultural impact. It's a shame that the latest one kind of fell on its ass a bit.
Did you watch it?
I didn't watch it. We were going to do it for the podcast, weren't we? But we never got around to it because I think it came out like Christmas or something stupid? Yeah, it came out over Christmas and me and you got COVID and we couldn't leave the building. We were going to watch over Christmas, weren't we? We said we were. And then, we never got around to it. But I think it was a blessing in disguise because everyone says it's terrible. And it didn't make that much money either, really, did it?
It is a shame that the franchise has lost its way because the sequels afterwards, I mean, they were huge when they were like being made, and then when they were released, they were lukewarm. Then you got Enter the Animatrix, which I think has got a big following. I'm not sure what the Resurrections is. I think a lot of people don't like it, but I think it has its core base of fans. But regardless of the franchise, this original one, if you could put it as a standalone movie, it is still one of the great achievements in movie making. I think it's such a great movie. Really 90s as well. It does reek of the 90s, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's very nice, very nice. I think with the new one as well, I think it's a shame they both didn't do the movie. I think that may be part of why it maybe lost its way. So they weren't both involved. It was only Lana that was involved, the two directors. It would have been nice if they both did it. Maybe that was why. Maybe that's part of the reason.
Yeah, maybe, personal reasons. Who knows? You never know.
Who knows? But, the 1999 one is completely iconic, and it always will be. Absolutely.
Now, number three is another franchise here. Toy Story 2 at 487 million. Now,
you can.
I dart back and forth with the franchise, and at the moment, I think Toy Story 2 is the best one. It's the one I revisit the most, and it's the one I like the most.
Oh, I don't know.
Do you remember which one Toy Story 2
is? I do remember which one. Of course I remember which one Toy Story 2 is.
We saw it in the cinema.
We did. I just don't know. No, I just don't know whether it's better. I do like it. I love it. That's great. It also,
What's your favourite then?
I think it's the first.
Say Toy Story 4, I'm just
going to... I think it's the first one's my favourite. But I think this one did introduce a really great character in Jesse. Jesse's a brilliant character.
Stinky Pete.
Jesse's a brilliant... And Stinky Pete is also a good character. But now Jesse's such a good character addition to the movie franchise. But the first one, it's got to be the first one every time. There isn't a scene better than when they are in the back of the truck, going to the arcade in the pizza truck, and then they fall into the thingy machine and they're surrounded by the what are they called? The little aliens.
That whole
segment is the best thing that's ever happened in the movie. So
I don't know. See, I mean, I could think of some things that would rival it. I think the scene where they're going to rescue Woody and they cross the road and they're dressed underneath all the cones and like they put the cones out.
Yeah, that's good.
Everybody has a car crash. And like, it's such a massive car crash in between it.
Yeah, that's good. I love the fucking second movie. But I don't know. I think that's the best. I think this does really represent the 90s.
Buzz finds that Zorg is his father, and they play catch outside. I'm playing catch with my dad. Good catch there, Sonny. Oh, you're a great father. I love that. It's a great movie.
Obviously, it's on the list. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And I would say one day we'll have to do the Toy Story ranked list.
It was like a Christmas one.
But I think
Christmas one.
It might be. Could be Christmassy. I do think that this one's going to be a strong indicator. I also think it's probably the best video game as well, Toy Story.
Yes.
So it's a better video game than Toy Story.
Yeah. Well, that's obviously going to happen, is it? The video games get better with age. You can't say that. You're playing fair now.
You have to play the way you can play them. Number two, and again, this is a hell of a leap. So,
is it The Sixth Sense?
Toy Story was... hang on a minute. Toy Story was 487 million. Number two is 672 million. And yes, it is The
Sixth Sense. I'm glad it's not number one, because I can't think who number one is. And it would annoy me if this wasn't number two, because then I knew this was number one.
Number one's going to be an interesting one, don't you worry. So, I mean, let's talk The Sixth Sense.
I was fucking terrified of this movie when I first watched it. And it's also the second movie to feature our man M. Night Shyamalan on the script.
Did he write this one?
He did. He wrote this one as well. He wrote and directed this one, yes. This movie's scary,
so they
man.
They didn't say to look, you did all right with the Stuart Little script. We gave you a different script here. See what you can do with it.
Now, this one is... it. Do you know what? I would say in terms of movie with a twist, this was the most blown away I've been with a twist. In the sense that when I first watched it, first viewing, didn't fucking see that coming. Did you?
No, I didn't.
It's a great twist. I think he did so well with this twist that it ruined the rest of his career. Because
his ego got
chasing
the way.
The high of this.
When this movie came out, he was touted as the new Spielberg, and I think that got to his head a little bit. But aside from like what you think of M. Night Shyamalan, do you think he's a great director or not? I would say he is a great director, because a great director couldn't have such a great movie in his filmography if he wasn't. Even if he only makes one great movie and the rest is shit, that's like saying that J.D. Salinger is a terrible writer when you know he's wrote one great book and that's it. But what a fucking book! And that's what I say about M. Night Shyamalan. What a fucking movie! The Sixth Sense works on repeatability, and you try and catch it out and you can't, because it's so cleverly written, it's so cleverly executed that it just works 100%, because you think, oh, hang on a minute, I swear someone talked to Bruce Willis throughout the movie, and then you rewatch it and realise no one ever talks to him apart from Haley Joel Osment. Here's a question for you. Best child performance, Haley Joel Osment?
I thought you were going to give me a second one. No, Stuart Little is probably better.
I can't. Stuart Little.
The kid in Stuart Little. Who's the kid in Stuart Little? Fucking.
But the one that got really beefed up.
Yeah, that kid. What the fuck is his name? Jonathan Lipinicki, is that his name? No.
Let's say it is. That sounds like a great name. Jonathan Lipinicki. I'm that little Nicky.
Jonathan Lipinicki. I think that is the kid, if I remember okay. Right. It is the kid. Jonathan, and he was a cute looking kid, and then he discovered the gym, and then it was like, oh yeah,
steroids.
Not so cute anymore, and kid. And he was also a little vampire. I would say he was bad. No, this is a great performance. But again, another kid who became weird. Haley Joel Osment looks weird.
He's done fine now. He only looks weird because you remember him as a kid. And you don't see the transition, because you go to Sixth Sense and then you watch Tusk and you go, what the fuck happened? But you don't see him as he grew up. He's fine.
I want to see Haley Joel Osment and Jonathan Lipinicki in Celebrity Deathmatch or something like that. You know?
Yeah.
Not a deathmatch. Let's say just a celebrity boxing fight. And I would pay to see that. Someone make that happen.
Let me ask you a question here. This is an interesting question.
Go on.
Would have Haley Joel Osment have done a better job at helping Ghost Bruce Willis from The Sixth Sense or Ghost Patrick Swayze from Ghost? Like, well, let's imagine that they swapped, right? And Whoopi Goldberg's helping out Bruce Willis in The Sixth Sense and Haley Joel Osment's helping out Patrick Swayze in Ghost. Which one's doing the better work here?
Sixth Sense would be a fucking better movie somehow if that was the case. Could you imagine? She'd have told him straight.
Like Whoopi Goldberg.
She'd have been like, "You're dead." No one's looking at you. I'm the only one looking at you. You're dead. She'd have ruined the whole movie. But it probably would have been funnier. It would have been a completely different movie. But it wouldn't have been called It would have been called, like, I don't know. What is the sense of is laughter a sense? Like the eighth sense or something? It would have been called something completely different.
I don't know.
it couldn't happen. I don't think that combination works. Haley Joel Osment doesn't work Patrick Swayze because Patrick Swayze's, you know,
too charismatic.
Yeah, way too charismatic. Whereas Bruce Willis in Sixth Sense, he's kind of a little bit helpless, isn't he? He kind of needs a bit of guidance. So he kind of, you know, he's kind of leaning on the kid a little bit.
Well, he does. Do you reckon the kid knows that Bruce Willis is a ghost? That's always been like the question. Does he know he's a ghost?
Yes. The kid knows. I think the kid treats him like that, doesn't he? Treats him like a ghost. He's not a scary ghost, you know. He's a trustworthy ghost.
Well, if you could see ghosts, right?
You would be the ones that were just kind of like cool and just kind of chilling. You'd be like, thank God, you know, I keep this ghost around.
I mean, in my head, if they don't look like Casper ghosts, I don't want to see.
I mean, that'd be worse.
I want to see like
that'd be worse.
I would love to see like a weird little like poorly CGI ghost.
No, but say it's
it'd be fantastic.
Seeing a ghost would be fine if you were like just chilling in your front room. You're on your own. And then a ghost just appears.
That'd be the worst time to see a ghost. That'd be the worst. What do you mean? I'm chilling and then suddenly there's a ghost in there. That would freak me the fuck out.
Sitting on the sofa next year and he's just like, what are we watching? And you're like,
I'd rather have Patrick Swayze's where he's sitting on the train and then some ghost runs up to him and says, my train. I'd rather have that experience than have someone in my house.
You don't want a chill ghost? Why would you not want a chill ghost? Just a ghost who's just, you know.
I want the my train ghost. My train. Can you imagine just sitting there and like a ghost throws you out of the train because it's his train?
Yeah, that would suck, wouldn't it? That would really suck.
It'd be a lot easier. Imagine if I'm scratching my balls and then a ghost is right next to me. I'm never going to be able to do anything in that area again. In case a ghost turns up, it's like Whoopi Goldberg in Ghost, like where they keep coming into the room.
That's a fair point. But if you could see ghosts, you'd prefer to see the chill ones, wouldn't you? You have no choice. So you see them all the fucking time, you know. They're everywhere. Do you think you'd be able to differentiate which ones are the ghosts? You probably would, because they'd be looking at you. And they'd be like, you can see me. And you'd be like, shit.
Am I a ghost or am I...
No, you're a non-ghost. Say you're walking down the street and then suddenly... Yeah. You just see a few ghosts and they start staring at you because they know that you can see them. That would be awful, wouldn't it? You could never...
I imagine it would get a bit frustrating.
You couldn't do Anne Frank's house, could you, in Amsterdam? You couldn't do stuff like that. You couldn't go to, like... Oh,
do you remember when we went to Auschwitz?
You could go Auschwitz.
How bad would that be if you could see ghosts?
You couldn't do any sort of museum stuff like that, could you, really?
You couldn't go anywhere, could you, really?
Fucking
you just
horrible.
Have to stay in your house.
It'd be fucking horrible, man.
If it was like a switch and you could turn it on and off,
you'd
like,
never switch
I
want
to see
on.
Ghosts today. Turn the ghost switch. Yeah, maybe when you're drunk, you're just like, I'll get bored of talking to you people. Switch on the ghost thing.
Imagine if you were just in an empty room and then you switched the ghost thing on and then suddenly there was about 500 people in the room and you'd be like, fuck.
I can never do it in my room.
Yeah, you don't want to know.
But you kind of would like be curious. Like you're laying in bed and you're just like, I wonder if there's anyone in my bedroom.
Nah, fuck that. Why are you doing that? Why would you ever do that? You would have to move out.
Yeah, but
what about if they were, now? What about, okay, what about
now that I know that ghosts exist, I'm gonna be curious to see where
and
they
what
are.
What about if there was always one at the end of the bed staring at you? Like every time you switched on, they were there in the same spot, staring at you from the end of the bed. You knew that even when it's off, you know they're there the whole time. That would be awful.
If they're not related to me, it's weird.
Even though it's,
if they're related to me,
I'd prefer
like
it to be a non person that I knew. I wouldn't want it to be a face I recognize. Would you? Why would you want to see a face you recognize?
Every day, some weirdo that you do not know stares at the end of your bed. Wouldn't you be like, why are you always at my bed? Like, if it was at least your grandmother,
like
you would go, well, that would make sense.
This ghost talk's making me freaking me out, man.
So, it's a lot of questions. So what are we doing with Sixth Sense? Is that going
it's
in? It's
got to go in there, but unfortunately, let's just never talk it's about going. It again. But it goes in.
Let's just never talk about it again, apart from we have to eliminate. And number one, this grossed the most. Grossed 924 million. Woo. And we saw it in the cinema.
Oh.
And as soon as I say it, you'll remember.
I probably will.
Star Wars Episode 1. The Phantom Menace.
Ooh. And it's not a good movie.
It's not a good movie, but they re-released the classics for this one. This was the movie of the year.
Yeah. I think we saw this.
A lot of this would have been opening.
Do you know,
weekend.
I think we saw this more than once in the cinema. I think we saw this two or three times.
No, I think...
I saw it twice.
I think we saw the original trilogy in the cinema, whether you're getting...
No. I saw this movie twice in the cinema. It stars another child actor in it, Jake Lloyd, while we're on the topic of child actors. He was was big in this movie, wasn't he? He had the big role. This is he was probably the star.
That must how many actors do you reckon went in for Anakin Skywalker?
Fuck,
that must
loads,
have been so many kids must have. I reckon Hayley Joel Osment went in for it. And then he didn't get it and just like, oh shit, I'll take this crappy ghost movie instead. I got money on the table somehow.
What about American Virgin? Is that the take?
He's got the same hairstyle as Jake Lloyd. I mean, coincidence? I think not. I think that they're all going to Anakin Skywalker.
Maybe. I think I saw this movie twice in the cinema. I really remember seeing this movie more than once. And I remember loving this movie when it first came out.
I loved this movie. And do you know the other thing that I loved about this movie? Jar Jar Binks. I love Jar Jar Binks. As you remember, I had a Jar Jar Binks cup.
Did you?
Fuck, I wish I still had that. Don't you remember the Jar Jar
Binks
cup?
Oh, yeah,
cup
no.
Jar Jar Binks face
it's
on it.
It's come back to me. I do fucking remember. Jesus, yeah.
I wish I still had that. I wish I still drank from the Jar Jar Binks cup.
Sometimes you have to move on, right? Sometimes you have to put the Jar Jar Binks cup down. And move on. Can't be a grown man drinking.
Man, that was
it.
A massive cup.
It was a massive cup.
A massive cup.
It was a massive
cup. It was a huge cup. His face was massive. and he got a lot of shit, the actor, for that. But
he was
hated,
wasn't
he? Really liked
it. Jar Jar Binks was so hated.
He was so hated that they kicked him out the rest of the movies. But I kind of liked the Jar Jar Binks character. I was 8 years old. I mean, come on. That time I liked snot coming out of my... Snot bubbles coming out of my nose, so, you know...
True. Snot bubbles were cool, man.
They were cool.
It was a rare occurrence you get a snot bubble. It was like that 2 times a year when a bit of sick would come out your mouth and you'd have to swallow it back down again. It would be a horrible experience, but afterwards you'd be like, man, I did that thing again. You gotta make the most of it.
I like the ghost story.
Mark it in the calendar.
Tick. And, I mean, also the merchandise was crazy for this. I mean, they had the PS1 game. I remember playing a lot. I remember they had a Star Wars chessboard.
Yeah. They had everything, man. They sold... This is why this is so 90s. Or so 1999. Was that they were like, we made shitloads of money. Let's make shitloads more money and milk this cow until it fucking dies. And they did. And that's what George Lucas is great at.
Unlike the new trilogy...
This made a billion.
Fuck. I mean, it just was shy of a billion.
It's made a billion since. I think maybe since they've re-released it. It's obviously
re-releases and
stuff.
It's
a billion.
I mean, the new trilogy, I don't think has any interesting character designs. In this movie alone, I can think of three or four. I can think of Jar Jar Binks. I can think of Darth Maul, who was badass. I mean, with the double lightsaber. Hell yes, that was so interesting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jar Jar Binks' boss. I can't remember his name. I don't remember the names very well. And the android things like, that could roll up into a ball.
Boss Man Binks, I think it was. It was Boss Man Binks. Yeah, that.
What were the android things that roll into a ball?
Oh, God, I don't know. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows?
It's four things right there.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot.
Then you got Jar Jar Binks' underworld thing in the under the water. That looked cool. Yeah. The end fight scene with Darth Maul is brilliant. It really is up there. It's like a great scene. Like the rest of the movie might not work, but that scene alone is brilliant.
Oh yeah, I mean this is a proper like cinema movie. That people really came out to watch this movie, didn't they? Like,
oh, this would have been huge. I mean, you think today, right? If they said they're doing a new Star Wars trilogy, it would kind of be left with like, yeah. But you think 1983 was the last Star Wars movie? Then 1999, this comes out. People must have been going crazy.
You know why as well? Because the problem with Star Wars now is that there's so much Star Wars. They have
too much.
They have a lot of TV shows. They have like three on the go. They've got the trailer for Mandalorian 3 out. That's out in Feb, and they're still got so, even like Mandalorian. Like, even when I saw that trailer, I wasn't excited for it because there's so much Star Wars. I'm just like, oh Jesus! Don't even know if I want to watch Mandalorian 3 right now. Yeah, I think that is the problem.
And you got Andor. Andor's another one that
they're milking the fucking shit out of it. But
yeah, too much.
Yeah, you're right. When this came out, there was a want and a need, and there was an audience there waiting for this moment to happen, and they did it, and everyone went and watched it, and everyone was like, "They let me down. They let us down. It's not as good as the original." But the poster looks good, so we'll give them credit for that. The poster looks good. Shout out to Drew Struzan. Struzan did the poster.
Shout out to Drew. Yeah. There's a lot of shout outs going
on. Drew Struzan.
So we've got 16 movies out of the 20 that we've put into the green stuff. Should we go through?
Go for them and I'm going to knock them off one by one.
So I've done them alphabetically. So we got American Beauty.
Keep for now.
I think it stays for now. Yeah. American Pie.
Mm. Keep it.
Analyze this.
Get rid of it.
I was going to say, it does stick out as a sore thumb right now. Doesn't represent...
Too many A's already in this list anyway.
Too many A's. Austin Powers, the boy who shagged me.
Because it's a sequel, I'm almost tempted to get rid of it, you know?
Yeah, but it's such a big sequel.
Yeah, it is a big sequel.
I think it stays for now. Big Daddy.
I think get rid of it because I don't think it screams 1999. But
I'd say hold on for a minute before, just in case you truly ruin yourself and you get Stuart Little in the next. The Blair Witch Project.
that's got to be keep in it, surely.
Yeah. Here's one that sticks out though. Double Jeopardy.
Yeah, get rid of it. I don't remember putting that in. Get rid of that one.
I think I just put it in Amber because we were talking very fondly of it. The Green Mile.
Keep it, yeah. Keep it.
The Matrix.
Oh, yeah. Keep it. Keep it.
It's getting hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Sixth Sense.
Ah.
Go. That's 1999. Yeah. Sleepy Hollow.
I think you might have to get rid of that one.
I'll keep it here for a minute. Right. So Star Wars Episode 1.
You're keeping everything. Star Wars Episode 1 has to stay, doesn't it, really?
I think it has to stay. Here's one we can get rid of. Stuart Little.
M. Night Shyamalan's second best movie in 1999. Yeah, go on, get rid of it. Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to let things go.
Yeah.
Tarzan.
Yeah, get rid of it.
Get rid of it. Toy Story 2.
I feel like you want to keep it, but I probably would potentially get rid of it.
I'm fine with keeping it. And Wild Wild West.
Can we get rid of that?
Yeah.
For the power of the list. So, just because it's not as... iconic as the rest.
So the power of the list at the moment, we've got 11. We've whittled it down to 11. Okay. So if you can remember them, which one do you think is the weakest one? I'm looking at, so we got American Beauty, American Pie, Austin Powers of Spy Who Shamed Me, Big Daddy, The Blair Witch Project, Green Mile, The Matrix, The Sixth Sense, Sleepy Hollow, Star Wars Episode 1, and Toy Story 2.
I'm leaning towards now, Big Daddy.
See, you're leaning towards Harry Kiru, stabbing yourself. I was leaning towards Sleepy Hollow.
Okay.
Because I like Sleepy Hollow, but I look at their movies and I say which one stands as a personal favourite, which one is probably a universal favourite. And Sleepy Hollow is probably more a personal favourite, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. Probably. Okay. Get rid of it.
So there we go. So Sleepy Hollow, it out of there. It's out of the park. So we'll recap. And it's strong. It's really strong.
It's
I did think Nightmare
on Elm Street
could
be. It's a great list.
Great. So you got American Beauty. It won Best Picture that year. It makes sense to represent 1999. American Pie, huge quotable movie of the year. Same goes with Austin Powers and Spy Who Shagged Me. Same goes with Big Daddy. Maybe it's a more personal favourite of you and I, but we love that movie. It's Adam Sandler. Blair Witch Project was an occasion that you cannot get back, how big and talked about that movie was. Green Mile is a beloved classic. The Matrix, again, another really pinnacle moment of 1999. Same with The Sixth Sense. Everyone was talking about Sixth Sense. Star Wars, it was the big movie of the year, wasn't it? It was the movie that everyone wanted to see and was waiting to see.
The movie.
And Toys, it was the movie. It might be the worst movie on the list, but it was the movie. Mm. And Toy Story 2 is just a great movie. I think that's a good list.
That's a pretty strong list. You can't deny. It's a very strong list. 1999, locked in.
So what are we thinking, 1999, going back to it? Is it still one of the best years of
movies?
It's
a pretty good year. We should. What was the last year we did? 1993?
1993, yeah.
We should keep a list. Have you kept 1993?
I've kept it, yeah. I'm looking
by
at
the
right
end
now.
Of this, we should rank the years. The very final one, once we do... Well, how many years are we planning to do it? Just our lifetime? I think just our lifetime.
I'm just going to keep going to it until I'm bored.
One day we'll run out of years and then we'll rank the years.
Yeah.
There you go. You've got that to look forward to one day.
We could do it in the decades. Like, if we did all the 90s, we could rank what was the best...
Oh, yeah, that's good.
What was the best year of the decade of the 90s. Yeah.
That's good. That'd be a hard fucking list.
Using our box office algorithm. But we've also got our retrospective years, which are going to come in to soon, which have nothing to do with the box office. That's just pure selfishness and enjoyment, that one. However, I digress. I mean, we've got to talk about episode 79, haven't we?
Episode 79. Episode 79. I decided to do a movie that's only just been released. I don't know how accessible this movie is going to be for you. Whether you're even going to fucking see it, because you're going to fall asleep again. Clerks 3.
I'm going to the cinema. All right.
Clerks 3. It's only just come out. It came out on the 16th. I don't know what fucking date it is. I don't know if it's the 16th right now. It came out on the 16th. You're going to have to hunt it down and watch it somehow. I think we just have to. I think it's just one of those movies that is very us and would feel like a missed opportunity. And also, I'm surprised it's out and I haven't seen a trailer for it on TV or any sort of promo anywhere. Who is doing the marketing for this movie? Nobody, apparently. So, it's out.
Is there a cry for Clerks 3, though?
Probably not. But I was excited when I found out it was out this week. And I was able to watch it. So, let's watch that one. And I think, I think we have to review that. I think it's something that would be wrong. It would feel wrong if we didn't watch that movie and review it. So, Clerks 3. And we'll also compare it to Clerks 1 and 2.
Where can we find this, by the way?
Oh, the big screen. It's in the cinemas.
Well, I'm having a look now and I can't see anywhere.
Really? Well, it is out. It came out on the 16th in cinemas. Anyway, this could be something you can sort out off the podcast, all right? It's out, and you're going to fucking find it, all right? So, yeah, if you want to join us to watch that movie, well, not to watch that movie, if you want to join us to hear about our opinion on that movie, is what I meant to say.
And to watch.
Tune in next week. Yeah, we might do scene by scene like we used to do. Fucking hell, how did we do that?
I might need someone to watch it for me because at the moment I'm struggling to find it.
Oh, it's in the cinema. Right? It's out there. All right, it's out there. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, Clerks 3 next week. Catch you guys then. When I woke up this morning, this morning was Judgment Day.